Hello and welcome to the Self-Explained podcast. I'm your host, Katie O'Donohue, the self-care coach. And on this podcast, I'm going to be bringing you through all things relationships, self-love, and mindset. This is a podcast for those looking to elevate their level of consciousness, to increase their self-awareness, so that they can transform the relationship with their self and ultimately transform their life. So for today's show, I have special guest Jess Banahan on from Self-Fit Coaching on with me to discuss all things from her personal growth and fitness journey and so much more. So Jess, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Katie, for having me. I am so, so excited to be on this podcast. I've been listening for so long and now I'm like, yay, it's my time.
I mean, I'm always looking for guests. And when I thought of you, I was like, oh, she's got like loads of stuff to talk about, from her traveling to her fitness journey, even from being an influencer, because you are a bit of an influencer, you know. But as I always start these kind of guest speaking podcast episodes, is just a little bit about your background and how you got to be where you are today. I'm just going to throw you under the bus from the get-go with this really broad question, but if you want to take it away and just introduce yourself and yeah, anything that you feel like sharing.
Oh my God, because it's such a broad question. Because I'm kind of like, where do I even begin? Well, I suppose everyone could probably tell from my accent, I am from Ireland. So I'm actually only back from Ireland since March of last year, as I was living in Australia. But I suppose, yeah, I did school, did college, all that. My background is actually in event management. That's kind of where, that's what my degree was in. So did that for a few years. And then in June of 2018, I left Ireland and went to Australia. So bought my one-way ticket to Australia and thought I'd never come back. And kind of literally, funny enough, Australia was never on my list to go to places. I always knew I wanted to travel, but I always knew I wanted to travel after I'd kind of done a bit of like work experience and stuff like that. So when I went out to Australia, I started off in Brisbane. Was there for about, oh God, I think about 4 or 5 months. Then moved to Sydney for about a year on and off. I was on a working holiday visa to do my farm work. So had all that fun. And then towards the end of my time in Australia, so from like January 2020 up until March, I was living in Melbourne. And then unfortunately, because of the pandemic, I was let go from my job over there. So because I'd only 3 months left of my visa, I had to return home. Like, people always tell me like, oh my God, you made such a good decision coming home and because of everything. And I'm like, you don't actually realize I had no choice. Like, because of the uncertainty of what that pandemic was back in March, you know, last year, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen. So I literally had to fly home. I remember, like, I had to contact the government to get a flight to pay extortionate amount of money for one flight home. And, you know, back, I suppose, in kind of where this kind of interlinks with my fitness journey, you know, it was actually this time, exactly this time 2 years ago, when I started my fitness journey. So I was very unhappy with my body, didn't really realize that at the time, but I knew I wanted to kind of get into, to start getting into fitness. I knew what kind of was kind of knew that that was kind of would be an avenue for me to try and help with my confidence and self-esteem. And obviously with Australia, it is a very like healthy lifestyle orientated society. So again, I was constantly surrounded by that. Like, people, it was normal for people to get up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to go for a surf down the beach. Like, this was just normal for them. So I think that was probably a great influence for me. I think because my environment was around what I was hoping to kind of start getting into, that was just a massive impact for me. Kind of thinking, like, I would love to do this full time. Like, I'd like helping people in this way. Because I knew my passion was always to help people, no matter what job I did, helping people was the biggest thing for me. And then towards November, December 2019, I kind of said to myself, right, if I get a job that that allows me to get sponsored in Australia, I'll stay on in that marketing job, because I was doing marketing at the time. I'll stay on. But if I don't get sponsored, I will go home and then study personal training. So because of the pandemic, I was able to essentially follow my dream and study personal training. And it's exactly what I did last year. And now we're here a year later. I I've essentially been a full-time online coach, self-employed since the start of March of this year. And now we're here at the start of July. And I'm just like, well, I've been coaching since January of this year, but I went full-time with it in March. And I wouldn't have changed my journey in any single way.
I mean, you have such a phenomenal journey. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know where to go with this now, because your trip to Australia, getting a solo flight, maybe we'll start there and then we'll come back to the fitness side of everything. Because I feel like that's something I haven't talked about on the podcast yet before. And something that I think maybe a lot of people are going to be wondering about, especially when the borders open and travel resumes properly again, people might have these ideas and dreams that they want to go do it, but maybe they have this fear holding them back. So let's go into that. You got on a flight to Australia on your own. What was your motivation for going away on your own? Because that is a pretty big step.
I suppose I knew I always wanted to travel, as I kind of mentioned, but I never found the right time, because we always wait for the right time. And I could say now, it just doesn't exist. If you're waiting for the right time, or the word motivation, it's a word I'm trying to phase out of my vocabulary, because it doesn't, people are getting mixed up what the definition of motivation is. But I suppose, like, I went through a breakup, actually. That was my initial thing. I was in a relationship for most of 2017. And then the relationship ended in October 2017. And I was literally like, thought the world had ended. Like, this was someone, I was 24, I think, at the time. So, God, was I 24? I was 25, something like that. Yeah, no, I was 24. And I remember kind of thinking, like, I need to change something. I needed to kind of get myself distracted. So I was like, oh, I'll just dye my hair pink, because that's exactly what I did. I had like red hair at the time, down at the end of my hair, like a red ombre. So then I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go pink. And then I was like, do any more piercings? Probably will get more ear piercings. Again, I just wanted to change something. But again, I was then thinking about, like, should I move job? Like, is that what I want to do? And I was like, no, I love my job. Like, that's not what I want to do. And then I made the decision. Then I was like, I just need to get out of here. It was actually because we were living in the same city. And I was like, I just know I'm going to like bump into him. I'm going to like, it just like Dublin is so small, because we were living in Dublin. I was like, this world is too small. I need to get out of here. Like, it was just a horrific end to 2017. But again, I was like, I just need to get out of the country to escape. And that's what it was. It was to, like, yes, it was to go see the world, but it really was to escape my feelings. And like, it took me about like over a year. Like, we were together for 7 or 8 months, but it took me about over a year to really get over, because we both had invested so much time into that relationship and love and everything like that. And it just, unfortunately, it wasn't the right time. It wasn't for us. So, but again, it's taken a while to kind of realize that, like, so, that's kind of why I decided, like, you know, all my friends are in, still currently, my friends are either engaged, they're either in very long-term relationships, you know, or having children. And I'm out of all my friends' groups, I am the single girl, and I've no problem with that. I've no problem being single. And I kind of knew that there's no point in me waiting around if one of my friends was going to break up with someone, then we'd go together. It was kind of like, I'm just going to do it. I've always been quite independent. And I remember just booking the ticket, and I was like, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is that if I go, that if I don't like it, I can always come back. It's not just like a dead end. You're like not going out there and you can't come back. You can always come back if you don't like it. But I ended up loving it.
Oh my goodness. Like, I'm just like, wow, that like resonates with me in some way, because I had a similar experience to you, but I had planned to go for a couple of years. But I feel like there's a lot of women in particular out there that do have that experience where they come out of a relationship, they don't really know what direction they want to go in life, but maybe all of their friends are in relationships, and there's that kind of, in a way, there is a pressure, because you're like, am I the only one? And then you're just kind of, you get this, I don't want to say motivation, because you just said you're going to take it out of your life. But this like notion to just be like, you know what? I'm living my best life. This is my life. I'm going to go do it. And that's kind of what it sounds like, that you actually kind of had that epiphany moment. Am I wrong in saying that? Or?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It was just that kind of like moment, essentially, where I was like, I'm just going to do it. Because it was like, I started researching initially about New Zealand. That's where I initially was going to go. I started researching that probably around November, literally a month after the breakup. And then Australia, naturally, because they're so close together, Australia kept coming up. And for years, and any of my friends will say this, like, I never wanted to go to Australia, purposely because there's too many Irish over there. I was like, no, there's too many Irish over there. I want to go to a country where I'm literally immersing myself into a different culture, that I'm learning everything from scratch. Excuse me.
You're okay.
But yeah, I wanted to immerse myself into a culture where, like, I'm literally like just deep diving straight into it and learning everything. So I didn't want to kind of rely on like, oh, there's loads of Irish people in Bondi, but I'm going to go there. I'm like, no, I literally, like when I lived in Sydney, I lived the furthest away from Bondi as possible, because I was like, I have Irish friends that I met over there, of course, because we always come together at some stage, but I wanted to really just experience something that was totally different. And that's exactly what I did. You know, like when I lived in like both, when I was in Brisbane, I lived in a hostel for like 4 months. It was the best time ever. You know, it was just, yeah, I had this notion like, and you know, once I get something into my head, I have to do it. I have to achieve it. Like I'm such an explorative, I'm like Dora the Explorer, really. Like, I just love exploring. So I kind of like, I'm kind of, what's the worst that can happen? Like, and yeah, that's kind of what I've realized over the last few years.
I mean, that's a good way to be though, kind of like immersing yourself amongst the culture, because it is like, there's like, I don't want to say it's like habit, but there is a tendency to just fly to another country and surround yourself with what you know and who you know, rather than actually experiencing the country for what it is, so to say. But in terms of, you know, we're going to maybe hostels and stuff, how did you find that experience, especially as, were you traveling on your own? Because I don't want to assume that you were on your own in those hostels, but was it just you, or had you met someone at that stage that you were kind of buddying up with and traveling with?
No, on my own completely. I remember booking this hostel. It was actually only brand new as well. So like everything, like when people think hostels, people think like, oh, it's like really like, like not great conditions and everything like that. Like I was very careful with where I got, but I actually initially bought, I think I bought like for, I stayed there for a week. I think I bought that in advance. And it was in this like brand new hostel, like not too far from the city. Of Brisbane. And yeah, I remember going there and absolutely loving it. And I didn't know anyone. I ended up being drawn to a lot of UK people. So that's kind of where most of my friends kind of were at the start. But like, I remember it was like my fourth day in Australia, and the people that I was staying with in my room, there was actually one German guy, and I think there was three from the UK. And we all just went to the zoo. Like on the fourth day, I never knew these people, but like we were all solo travelers. Yeah. So when you're a solo traveler, you tend to be drawn to other solo people as well. And there is so many people like that German guy, I'm still friends with him. He was 18 at the time, and he just like finished school and was like fresh out of school. And we just all bonded really. And it was just really incredible to kind of meet. Like I was the only girl. It was just me and the lads, I would say. And it was just really, really cool. But then I moved to another hostel, and that's the one I stayed in for about like 3 or 4 months. And again, I knew nobody there. It was kind of just, let's just see what happens. And yeah, like that's what it was. But before I moved into that place, I did like 4 weeks of traveling the East Coast. So I went flew up to Cairns, to like the Great Barrier Reef. Then I did, oh God, I don't even know or remember what I did now, because it's so long ago. But yeah, I did all the way from the top of Queensland all the way back down to Brisbane over a space of 4 weeks. I did stuff that I never thought I would do, like from scuba diving to like having a snake around my neck to like just really getting into like the nitty gritty of what Australia is and what like the tourism side shows. And then yeah, I ended up staying in that hostel. Even I actually got a job when I was in Brisbane. I got a job that was only like 10-minute walk down the road, and I still decided to stay in the hostel because like I was looking at apartments. I was like, oh, well, I rent somewhere, like now I'm earning money. But I just decided, no, I actually really enjoy living with these people. Like I was in a room with like 6 or 8 other people, but I didn't mind because a lot of the people that were in this particular hostel, a lot of them were long-term people. So a lot of us were there for the guts of like 2 or 3 months together. So you just, like you come down in the morning, you go to the kitchen, you're all say good morning together. Like it's just this massive, like, gathering of community. And that's what that hostel really is. So like whenever, like if people were to tell me like, where would you go stay in Brisbane? I'm like, stay in this hostel. It will just, even the staff and everything, they were just incredible. So, but yeah, like people, I think when they heard me going, saying that I would go to a hostel, they're all like, Jessica, you will not survive. And I'm like, put me into it, we'll have the crack. And that's what we did. It was amazing.
Did you ever feel, you know, because I guess in the last year or so, there has been a lot of publicity in newspapers and stuff around the world about women's safety and everything. Did you ever feel unsafe on your own traveling, you know, not knowing these people, but meeting them for the first time? Did you have any fears come up, we'll say, maybe even on the flight over, that you were kind of like...
on the flight over, I don't, like, I remember bits of it, to be honest. I think I didn't, when I was on the flight, I didn't really comprehend what I was actually doing. Like, I remember arriving, because I flew from Dublin to Dubai, and even in Dubai, like, I just really didn't click. I was literally in Dubai, I think, for about an hour, and then again flew to Brisbane. But again, when I arrived in Brisbane, it wasn't just like, holy crap, like, I'm at the upside of the world. It was more like, okay, so we just need to get to the hostel, need to get to sleep. Like, that was more my concern. I never really thought about it, to be totally honest. Like, I knew Australia would have been a relatively safe country to go to. So, I probably felt safer in Australia than I probably do in, like, Dublin or anything. Like, I lived in Dublin for 6 years. But I suppose, again, I've been so independent, and I'm so used to being on my own, that... I suppose my safety never really, like, of course, it obviously does come into that, into everything, but I never, it was never a big focus for me in such that I'm like, okay, I need to do this to be safe, or, you know, I can't, excuse me, I can't tell someone these details, because they're going to, like, know X, Y, and Z. Like, I think I've always relatively been street smart as it is. I suppose, like, even now I'm trying to, even though I have a big following, I'm trying to be careful of what I do say and what I do post. I'm like, oh, people will know me and will follow me and all that stuff. But no, it's actually funny when you say it, it's never been a thing that would have stopped me from going anywhere and anything like that. Like, I suppose now I'm obviously planning to emigrate again, and hopefully this will be the final time I'll get to leave Ireland. But you know, at one point last year, I was thinking about Dubai. I was like, because it was something that a family member said to me about 2 years ago that I should try Dubai. But immediately I said no, because I was like, oh no, their culture, like, you know, being a single female, it's probably not the culture for me. But yet so many people have said now, oh, it's completely, like, fine now. And I'm like, no, I don't know if I'll feel safe there. Maybe on a holiday, but not right now. So, but yeah, the whole safety side of things never really came into much thought when I was in Australia.
I just thought I'd dive into that, because some women probably would have that fear going away on their own, you know, thinking, I can't do it, you know, I won't be safe. But in terms of, because I know you said at the start when you introduced yourself about your personal fitness journey kind of started when you were in Australia, and you said that you weren't really happy with how your body was, because I know that's quite a hot topic at the moment, you know, body image and building your confidence and stuff. How has your mindset changed, we'll say, from the very start of your journey to what it is today? Because I know you just did a competition recently too, and you looked amazing. Congrats as well on placing, I want to say that. But in terms of how your mindset, we'll say, towards maybe your relationship with food or your relationship with exercise and even your relationship with yourself, how has that changed over the last couple of years that you have gone more health focused and kind of building up your confidence, so to say?
Wow, this is a big topic. It's a big one, because there's been so much realization even over the last, like, 6 months. So I would have been relatively active when I was younger. I would have done, I danced for about 20 years of my life, and then I did martial arts. So they were my forms of fitness or exercise. And then when I didn't realize this now until about a few months ago, how negative I looked at my body. I really did suffer with how I looked. Now, I wouldn't have been, like, I would have always had, like, people would say, like, fast metabolism. Like, I wouldn't, like, I think the biggest inverted commas, like, there's no such thing as too big or too small, but I suppose, like, the biggest I personally would have been a UK size 12. And that's like, that's a very much an average. But again, I would have always been like a size 6 or 8 from my childhood. But again, I was a child, I was a teenager. So I'm still forming to be a woman. And, excuse me. Sorry, I'm just going to have to get some water.
You're okay. At least people know it's just like a flowy conversation, natural. These things happen, you know, your throat gets dry. It's fine.
My train of thought. Yeah, so I would have always had kind of a slim build throughout my whole life. And I suppose I don't know where my issues stemmed from, but I realized again over the past like few I've realized over the last few years that these body issues I've had stemmed from sometime in my teenage years. I went to boarding school, all girls boarding school, very competitive and very, you know, it was an incredible experience. I loved what I did learn about myself when I was in boarding school, but you know, you're very much on your own. That's probably where my independence kind of really started as well. And I don't know where my issues really stem from. I'm still gathering that kind of side of things as well, but I know it will kind of come. But it actually, I've realized over the last like, few years, it actually affected my relationships. So any romantic relationships that I had, my image was affecting it. I didn't like looking at my body. So like, you know those things I'm trying to explain to people, like, you know, when you get out of the shower and like some people could just like lay in their towel for ages or could walk around their house naked. I can never do that. I still can't do this day. I could never do that. I'm like, when I get out of the shower, I have to get fully dressed. Like, I just can't like be naked. I can't look at myself naked. Like, even though like I'm just after coming off a stage 3 days ago, from standing in front of people in a bikini, but like that took a lot of guts to do. But I feel like I need that. Like, I know with bodybuilding, like people have their thoughts on it and their views, and 100% I would have been one of those people that 2-3 years ago I would have said, oh my god, like why would a woman do that? Like, why would they want to look their body to look that way and stand there in a bikini and all that stuff? But I've been the total hypocrite. Like, I did it for my different reasons. Like, I did it because I knew I needed to love my body. That's why I did it. I did it to show the teenage version of myself that like I can love my body. It's no matter what it looks like, you know. I've watched my body completely develop into a physique that I never thought I was able to achieve. And I did that. Like, I put in the hard work. It wasn't just like, oh, I hired a coach, I paid the money, and you know, it magically came to me. Like, I've had such a tough few months, particularly as well. Obviously, I've most of my physique has been formed in lockdown with minimal equipment. I wasn't in a gym, and you know, I made the most of it. I stopped giving, procrastinating about it. I stopped, you know, coming up with excuses. I just did it. Like, I didn't wait around for, again, motivation. I didn't wait around for it. I was like, I am my own motivation. I am the person that's going to get up every day and is going to like eat the food, is going to get the adequate sleep, is going to get, you know, hydrate their body with water, is going to do the exercises. That was all me. But again, in June of 2019, my sister and my parents had come to visit me in Australia. And I remember we got my sister wanted to get a photo of us in our bikinis. And at this point I was like, I would rather jump off a cliff. Like, this is not what I want to do. And I remember we took a photo, my mom took a photo of the two of us, and that was my turn. That was my moment. That was like, no, that's not me. Like, I don't look happy, and I know I don't look happy. So I remember joining a gym in Sydney. It was kind of like a high intensity kind of like a CrossFit kind of style gym, but had like elements of boxing in it. So I was like, okay, this will be fun, and end up just getting addicted to it. It was like, people always think like, oh, I tried 1 week and then I didn't go the next. Like, I was going 5 to 6 times a week for months. Like, I never missed a session. Like, I was addicted. There were some days, I think probably around like the September time, so probably 4 months in, I was going like twice a day. I was addicted. Now, at this stage, I was under eating. I didn't really realize the importance of nutrition. I just kind of thought if I exercise and exercise that I would get the results. For anyone that's listening, it's not. Like, you could train twice a day, 7 days a week. Like, it's so, like, exercise, it doesn't have, like, it does have a massive impact on your physique, but it really comes down to your nutrition, comes down to genetics. You know, it comes down to how much sleep you're getting. Like, all those are the factors, again, that people don't consider. And I suppose that's kind of where, like, my kind of coaching has stemmed from, and my style of coaching, like how I coach my clients, because there's stuff that I didn't consider. And now I'm like, I'm literally telling people, I'm like, this is what I have done. So I know how, so people can feel like they can relate to me a bit more as well. And then the whole idea of doing the competition stemmed from about January of 2020. Initially, my sister and I were due to compete in April of this year, but then due to COVID, then we competed then just there 3 or 4 days ago. I'm not even sure when. Every day has been a bit of a blur since. And if you told me 2 years ago that I would have stood on stage, I would have absolutely laughed, to be honest. But it's just incredible to have been like only 2 years into this journey. And it's essentially, for me, it's only the beginning.
And you know, when you were on stage, because I know being on in a bikini on stage can be quite, I mean, it could be nerve-wracking for some, but it could be quite thrilling for others. How were you on stage, you know, knowing that that has been your journey from 2019 onwards, what you've gone through, the do's and the don'ts that you've come across? How were you feeling on stage in terms of putting yourself out there?
It was funny, like for all of last week, like so the week coming up to the show, I was so nervous. I kept really, there was so much self-doubt. It was like, I'm not good enough. And there was like, I literally remember two days beforehand, turning around to my sister who also competed, saying to her like, no, do you know what? Like, I can't do it. I literally just said I couldn't do it. But that was like, when it comes to those last few weeks, there's so much negativity in your head and you're just trying to push through it. And you think like, when is this session going to end? Like, I remember Thursday, the three days beforehand was the final day I trained. And it was it was just a tick of a box rather than enjoyment. And I always enjoy my sessions, but that particular session was like, I was in the gym and I wanted to cry. I was like, this is just torture. But you have to go through these things for a competition. Your mind is just challenged. But I suppose, like, without bragging and being sounding selfish about it, I do consider myself quite an introvert, but I'm probably not when people meet me. So I do love being on my own, but I am quite the extrovert. So like, put me on a stage, I'll have no problem. Like, I love the attention. Like, and I do, and I it's can sound selfish, some people being saying that, but like, I do love the attention. So you know, when I'm on a stage, like, I've had years of dancing experience, so I'm used to being on stage. And when I went on stage, like, I remember standing in where the curtains are, and you're there in your bikini. You actually don't even think about the fact that you're in a bikini. It just feels like you're in a dress or something. Like, it didn't even cross my mind. But you're there looking at the stage, you're looking at the audience there, and you're like, oh God, like, what am I going to do? And I walked out as if I owned the stage. I was like, no, this is my time. And like, you're there, there's other women already on the stage at this point, for me anyway. And I, like, when you're walking to the front, like, that is your time. You only get so, like there's been a year and a half of work put in for like 30 seconds on stage. So you just have to give it everything. Now, I was very nervous. I did have a little stumble, but I tried to like just keep moving and keep calm. But I just loved it. Like, I absolutely thrived off it, like, as well. And again, all those women and all those men that did compete, they all started from somewhere. There was they're in the particular federation that I competed in, there was a transformation category. And those are women who have been through insane transformations, who have I was in awe of some of their transformations, because like, again, we all start from somewhere. So, and we all have the same passion. So like, people think like, oh, like, yeah, this competition is all very competitive. I'm like, it is to an extent, but like, backstage, it was nothing but love backstage. Like, I met so many amazing women and we were all very empowering of each other. And it wasn't fake by any means. It was genuine care. Like, there's some girls that I will still continue to stay in touch with as well, and hopefully you know, compete with them again at a future time. But like, yeah, the being on stage in bikini just didn't even faze me. Even like I came across my photos from stage, I've looked back on videos, and it's just pride. It's just absolute pride. I'm so happy with what I did and what I achieved and what I brought to stage. Considering everything that I've been through, like, I am proud of me. I didn't care what anyone else brought. I was proud of me. So yeah.
Oh, it sounds like you had a really nice experience, because, you know, I guess it is a bit of an assumption that these kind of competitions would be a little bit bitchy or kind of so competitive that you feel like you're not even welcome there at times, you know. But in terms of like maybe women, I don't know, is this a bit of a difficult question now to be putting out there? It could be mean. I could be like, oh, maybe you shouldn't say this.
go for it.
You know, like women in society, there is a lot of competition amongst women. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I definitely think there is kind of a quote unquote threat amongst women where they see one woman being super successful and there's this automatic judgment, criticism. Who does she think she is doing X thing? What do you think is the cause of that amongst women? Because you see men being supportive of each other at times, but women, it's like a different story. It's like a free for all.
Oh, it's so hard to know. Like, is it kind of like, does this, I don't know whether it stems from you know, how you were brought up. Like, really, does it stem from that? Does it stem from your teenage years or anything like that? Like, I suppose, like, again, yes, like there were some people there that were in it to win, and like that's obviously what you're doing. It is a competition at the end of the day. But like, again, I suppose, like, in an overall aspect, do I have people I'm in competition with? There's obviously competitors that I'm literally, those women that I competed against, they are a competition to me. But like, my physique is like different to them, and I'm like, they can do whatever they want. Just because they're doing X, Y, and Z doesn't mean I need to do it. I'm like, I'm staying in my own lane, because my body's still completely different to theirs, you know? So, and again, even though, yes, we were being compared to each other by our physiques, but you know, at the end of the day, like, my body's completely different to like the six other women I'm standing against. The whole threat thing, like, again, I don't know. Again, I've been to all girls school, so it's just always been there. It's just, I don't know what it is. And it's just bloody jealousy, to be honest. I think it just stems from jealousy. Because I was bullied when I was younger. I was bullied in primary school. I was bullied in secondary school. I was bullied in college. So like, I've always known it's just people being jealous of what you have, and because they don't have it. And a lot of that is, and again, when we look at social media and people getting invested into this, as you mentioned the word influencer, like, I don't like using the word influencer, but again, it's what I can.
Sorry. I take it back. Let's do like red X through that. No. I don't want to say I can erase it out of it because I can't, but we'll just retract that statement. I guess there's shame or some kind of negative connotation attached to that for some people, but you're very transparent online. So when I used it to introduce, like, to, must say, associate with you, I wasn't associating it in a negative way, but more a positive way, because you're super authentic.
it's not like, I just don't consider myself the way, because I don't know if people listen to me, to be totally honest. That's probably why, because again, when you think of like the top influencers, like, people do listen to them and buy for them, where I'm like, I don't know if people do that for me. I think people just think I'm a bit of an idiot, and that's really it. But I suppose some people do listen to what I have to say. And so kind of going back to this whole influencing thing, a lot of people get invested into influencers' lives, and it, you know, then you see all the trolls and all that sort of things. And it is always women. It is like, and I know it is, and there may be men 100%, but, you know, again, I feel it's a jealousy thing, which I understand, like, you know, but sometimes it's kind of like, if you want something in life, you can do it. You can achieve anything. Like, but having that mindset, being like, oh, well, I can't do that. I can't do that because, you know, I have to have, you know, my 9-to-5 job, and I have to do this and to be accepted in society. And, you know, I have to do this because I need to do it for my family and all that stuff, or I can't do that. I can't travel because of this. You're constantly coming up with excuses. Mm. Like, you can do anything. Like, this is your life. Like, you yourself, stepping aside from a partner or children or a job or anything like that, like you are living your life for you. If you are not happy, you can change it. Anything element of your life, you can change your job. I did it. I'm a walking example. And Katie, you're also an example of that as well, of how much you've hugely changed. So I've loved following your journey because you have also changed your life, because now I know that you are happy. Like when I first came across your page, I was like, this girl is like life. I was like, I'm just like, I became invested in positivity. No. I was genuinely being like, there's just something about this girl that I'm drawn to. And that's why we've been drawn to each other since. And, you know, like, just when people say that they can't achieve something, I'm like, just literally just like, you don't understand, but you can achieve anything you want. You need to stop letting money or fear of failure or your confidence stopping you back. And that's really what I'm trying to, like, you know, help people with, you know, coaching, and likewise, you know, obviously Katie as well. But I think people need to really stop being so invested into other people's lives and start focusing on yours. Because again, we have those people who, you know, we see these like trolling and bullying online, and that's all people just being too, I think, too invested into other people's lives. And we really need to start like looking into our own lives, thinking, okay, is there anything I could change about my life to make myself happy? Like, are you, you know, by no means do I have the most perfect life. Am I jumping out of bed every day? Absolutely not. I stumbled out of bed this morning. You know, I'm now living back with my parents at 28 years of age, you know, waiting for my vaccination so I can go travel again. You know, like, so I'm not living my best life, but I'm making the most of it. You know, I'm making the most of every single day because that's what I can do. I'm not going to sit there on Netflix and just be like, oh, I've such a bad life and blah, blah. I'm like, I'm very happy and content with what I have, and I've made the most of it, but I've worked to get here as well. So, I'm not sure if that's probably a lot of opinions.
No,
most online.
Now I have
podcast, but
I've got loads more questions now because you went off in this massive like change of direction. Now I just see questions like pinging in my head as you were talking, and I'm like, wait, when can I ask it? Like, should I keep talking? And I'm like, wait.
Katie, you but, know I never stop talking, so that's the problem.
Honestly, that's why I figured I had you on and I could ask the least amount of questions, but then you talk about interesting things, so I'm gonna have to move ahead with another few questions, even though we've been going almost 45 minutes, but sure, look.
Let's do it.
What I wanted to ask you was, you know, I guess, like you said there, even being at 28 living at home, there's no shame in doing that. But when people start to, like you say, pass judgment or criticize or be invested in someone else's life to the point where they're feeling that negativity about themselves, that jealousy, that envy, that kind of like fear that's coming up within them that they're not doing enough with their life. It's about, yeah, like redirecting that energy back to them, I suppose. But in terms of, you know, we'll go into your career because I know you took the leap not too long ago from working in another job the same time as your business. For anyone who's super jealous now of Jess starting her own business, I'm going to go into it. But taking that leap, you know, stepping outside of the, we'll say, societal norm, your 9-to-5 job, the safety, the security that comes with knowing you have that stable income, but maybe not being as happy as you could be in a job. What was your kind of deciding factor that you were going to move away from that safety and that security and just pursue your dreams, so to say? Because it is a dream when you do your own business. What made you think, I'm going to do it? I'm just going to take the leap. This is it.
Yeah. So I was in a marketing job at the time and I was obviously working from home and everything. And then, so I launched Selfit Coaching on the 17th or 18th of December. So again, it was like the perfect time because essentially all my clients were starting the first week of January. So the whole new year, new me. But I remember when I launched, I spent my Christmas holidays back to back, and this is after being said bragging, like this is actually literally what happened. I spent my 2 weeks Christmas holidays back to back with consultations. Like that's how I spent it. And I Loved it. I was like, this is unreal. I remember like I was doing like creating programs on New Year's Eve and even on say Stephen's Day. I was just living this. I was like, this is amazing. So then when people started actually training with me at home back in, so again, when the first few clients started in January, I basically did like my 9 to 5 and then literally at 5 o'clock, I closed down my work laptop, opened up my personal one or this, my work one now, and was literally doing it for about another 4 or 5 hours. I was spending my Saturdays and my Sundays doing it as well. And I just, like, I couldn't get over it. I was like, people are like, and a lot of people that obviously signed up with me are, or that do set up with me are familiar with me, that have been following me for some time and they'll know. So like they knew I was still, I literally just launched. I didn't really have a clue what I was doing. And a lot of them have known that. I was like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I figured it out. But I was on a severe burnout, and that was January. And it was, January was just exhausting. And I remember like, I was holding like, you know, like I think people do like do their side hustle and full-time job for like a few years, but I just physically couldn't. I couldn't keep up with it because again, I was doing my own training as well. So I was like exhausted. So I remember turning around to my parents saying like, I think I have to actually pack it in. I knew I was eventually going to leave that job, you know, but I never, again, I'm so scared. What do I do? But I was just like, it is my health that I'm actually putting first. It was my health and also my happiness that I was like, I was there like in my 9 to 5 job looking at the watch being like, oh God, when am I going to actually do what I want to do? Because what I was doing, like my coaching work, like it just doesn't seem like work. It still doesn't feel like work, even though like when I'm in here, like obviously I'm in my zone and everything, but you know, I love what I do. I love the people that I work with. The people I work with really make it so much better for me. But I just literally just created the resignation letter, handed it in, and you know, I did like my month's notice or whatever. But like, by God, like was this like, I haven't had a day off properly in God knows how long, but that's fine. We'll make the most of it. I will have to eventually take some time off. Like there's obviously pros and cons to when you start up your own business, but you know, especially in a global pandemic as well. But I'm proud of myself because it's something that I knew I always wanted to do. I always knew I wanted to start my own business. I just never knew what it was going to be. I always wanted to be in control, be my own boss. And yeah, it's just been an incredible journey so far. Full-time coach now for the last like 4 months. And it's just been a truly rewarding thing to be able to say like that the money that I've earned is all me, that I've done that hard work. And I'm just so excited to kind of see what self-coaching does, because I know I want to go down different paths. I want to like learn more things and, you know, further educate myself as well to be able to provide more services and stuff. So yeah, just hopefully need to find the money to do all that, but I will if the right time will come. But I'm very happy with where I currently am at.
Oh, that's amazing. I love hearing people's stories of like what was their why, so to say, for taking the leap and for just going for it and pursuing their dreams. And it's like it's been an amazing journey for you. And I've seen you do all your online promoting and even your marketing. It's just like to the point. Like it's so on point. I keep looking at it and I'm just like, oh, I'm like, the green-eyed monster is not coming out right now, Katie. You're fine. It looks amazing, you know, what you've done.
Okay.
We can swap ideas.
Yes, 100%.
But it's amazing to see, you know, living the dream, so to say, even if it has been a bumpy ride or a little bit of a kind of stretch, you know, so to say, because any entrepreneur when they start out, or coach, see, I'm using the word entrepreneur now.
Yes.
And they start out, it is hard work, you know, and getting that clientele built up. But you were lucky, you know, that you had the people following you and that they were keen to take you on and that they trusted you as well, because that's a big thing when you do hire a coach, it's about trust. But I want to go into this as my last question, and I promise I'll leave you alone after this.
That's okay.
In terms of, you know, on the element of trust, having self-trust and inner guidance and inner knowing, did you feel that kind of voice within you saying just do it, and did you trust it?
Oh God, did I? I think I did. I think it was stemming from like a few months before that, even like when I just had launched like the website and, you know, the business launch and everything, like there were so many thoughts, like even during Christmas, like, you know, I knew that that it was kind of there. I just didn't listen to it. But I definitely trusted my gut and I listened to the three heads, as people would say. So you've your head, your three hearts. Like I listened to my head, my heart and my gut. So those are the three. So once the three aligned, that's when I knew my decision was made. So like my head was like, it's going to be tough, but we'll figure it out. My heart was like, you want to do this. You knew you wanted to do this for over a year. Just bloody do it. And then my gut was like, just it's time. It's time. It's time for a new chapter. It's time to start because, you know, I've always been a people pleaser. And again, I've only realized that the last few months, throughout my whole life, because of, I think, again, stemming from when I was bullied, I've always wanted to do things to be accepted in society. And that's what's led me to where I am now, because I've done everything to the book. And like, you know, especially from an Irish society, we are, whether people like to talk about it or not, but from an Irish perspective, it is kind of like expected that you do go to college. And like you do get a job after, then you find your partner, you settle down, have the kids, buy the house. None of that is even in my pathway. I'm like, I'm not even thinking about kids or a house or a partner or anything like that. I'm like, I just want to like just enjoy my business. Like I've always been career driven, but I've always done everything to please other people. And I stopped doing that when I said that I would start my coaching business full time, because I was like, no, this is the end of it. Like I'm running my business. I'm not letting the business run me. I was like, I'm taking control. This is my time. I'm after doing years of being unhappy and trying to just jump through hoops for other people. But what did I get out of it? So I'm like, no, this is my time. This is now my time to start. So I really feel only now at 28 years of age that I'm living my life the way I want to. And that's why I'm really passionate about like helping people in some sense to be like, you can do anything you want. And that's kind of where my kind of current passion is. And that's what I hope to still continue on doing.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. And I can see the way you're talking as well. Like you have the fists up and you're like super into it. Even the banging on the table through the conversation. I was like, she's so passionate. I can feel your energy through the screen. But it's been such an amazing journey to hear about, Jess. Honestly, like from talking about your experience at the competition, traveling, trusting yourself, being on your own through all of that as well. Like, wow, it is such an inspirational journey. And hopefully today's listeners will take away some important key lessons from it too. Maybe trust themselves even more as a result of hearing your story and push their limits, I suppose, to say, even break out of them and, you know, rise above the status quo, so to say, and the norms and carve out their own paths. Because that's what you're doing. You're living it, breathing it, feeling it, enjoying it. So I want to say thank you so much for being on the show, Jess.
Thank you. No, I honestly really enjoyed it. I know everyone, it's been a long one, but we've covered a lot as well. So hopefully there were some good nuggets there to take away from this podcast. Yeah.